Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. In the Greek language in which the New Testament was originally written, there are two Greek words translated into the English word life. The first of those words is the word bios. Bios describes the created natural life of those who live in this world. From the word bios, we get the word biology, which is the study of that life, the study of living organisms. It is natural life. Now, the other Greek word that we find for life in the New Testament is the word zoe. And zoe in the Bible describes the spiritual and the uncreated life of God. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to make real to us as followers of Jesus Christ the life of God, this Zoe. Not just make it real in the sense that we come to understand it in order to being able to define it, to describe it, but the Holy Spirit wants to make it real to us in the sense that we actually begin to live it. That we begin to live the life of Christ. That as we live our natural bios life in this world, it is informed, it is inhabited by, indeed it is controlled by and lived by the life of God Himself. And so when the scripture talks about God giving life in the spiritual sense, it uses the word zoe, and that's what God wants to do, to enhance the bios life that is naturally ours, that all human beings have, but to be inhabited by the life of God. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is what the Holy Spirit is seeking to bring about and to make true for you and for me. Last Sunday, we began our current sermon series on the work of the Holy Spirit, a series that will take us through the rest of this year of 2021. Last week, we talked about the words of Jesus in John chapter 14. He was gathered with his disciples in the upper room. It was the night before he would be crucified. And he had just told them that the Father who had sent him into the world was preparing to call him back out of the world to return to heaven. Now, this naturally concerned the disciples. They had just spent 3 years with Jesus, living with him, learning from him, indeed learning about the life of God from Jesus as he lived it, as he taught it. And the disciples were essentially saying, if you're going away, how are we going to be able to continue living the kind of life that you have been teaching us about? And that is when Jesus tells them that the Father, who's bringing him back to heaven, having sent Jesus, now will send another. Jesus uses the word that is translated advocate. He says, just as I have been your advocate, just as I have come alongside of you, the Father will send another advocate, someone who will also come alongside you. In fact, he will not only be with you, but he will be in you, and he will never leave you. And Jesus says, and he is the Spirit of God. He is the one we call the Holy Spirit. And so it is the Spirit of God who seeks to bring to life in us the life of God Himself, as we have seen, as we have experienced through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now here we're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit, but it reflects the word of God himself, God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we call it, the Trinity. Now, throughout time, at least since the writing of the New Testament, making these things clear, theologians have tried to describe, to imagine exactly what is this Holy Spirit, this Father, and this Son, who are somehow, even though they are three, are still united in one. And one of my favorite images of the Trinity, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, is imagining the three of them in a circle holding hands. An image that represents the relationship that they have with one another, the love that they have for each other, and the way in which their life is a shared life with each other. And what is true for one is true for the other two as well. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring you and me into that circle. If you will, in your imagination, that the Holy Spirit, by giving us new birth, as Jesus talked about it, brings us into the life of God, and so to speak, brings us into the circle, that now we are joining in the circle with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the circle within which the life of God is being lived, within which the love of God is being shared among all who are part of that circle. Now, in your own mind, you may now think of it as a four-person circle, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and you, but it's actually more than just you and the circle, right? Everyone who the Holy Spirit brings in, and the circle, therefore, is immense. And again, this is not a biblical image. This is a way of thinking about it, a way of imagining it. But we are in this together, and those who are in the circle, having been brought in by the Holy Spirit, are being taught by the Holy Spirit, are being guided by the Holy Spirit, most importantly, being empowered by the Holy Spirit to live the Zoe life of God, because we are in His circle, so to speak. We are still in our bios reality. We are still human beings living a human life, but we're now to live it very differently because we're living through the power of the Spirit. This new kind of life. The scripture sometimes calls it eternal life or everlasting life, but it's much more about quality of life, this Zoe, than just about quantity. It's a way of distinguishing spiritual life from created life, because created life doesn't live forever. It dies, of course. But this quality of Zoe life, that's what the Spirit is about, and that's what He wants to bring about in us. So why doesn't that just happen automatically? Why, when you become a Christian and the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, it's just not like a switch is flipped and one day you are just living your own bios life and the very next day you are just perfectly living the Zoe life? Well, as we will see in the passage that we're about to read from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, the problem that you and I have with living the Zoe life is what Scripture calls our sinful nature. All of us have it. It is part of our bios reality. When we were born, we took on a human nature which is inherently sinful. And as we will see, Paul will say that those who are living according to their sinful nature, those who are being dominated or controlled by their sinful nature, those who are habitually sinning, if you will, using a more modern psychological term, those who are being addicted to sin, it's almost like sin has a power over you, a draw on you, and you're just simply not able to resist it. Not in a perhaps moment in time. Paul is not talking about sinning as individual events. He's talking about a lifestyle, as a way of living. He says our sinful nature is controlling us, and when our sinful nature controls us, then our life is dominated by the consequences of sin. What are those? Well, they're things like anger and bitterness and hatred and envy and selfishness and pride and on, many different ways in which Scripture talks about the consequences of our sinful human nature. And what kind of life is that? Well, it's not a very appealing life, at least as far as I'm concerned, but that is a good definition of the bios life that is lived outside the Zoe of God. So what is it that the Spirit does? The Spirit brings to us a different kind of life that is dominated now not by our sinful nature, but by a new God-breathed spiritual nature. And it is the spiritual nature that is being developed and empowered by the Holy Spirit that is now causing us to live not in obedience to sin and its desires, but in obedience to God and God's will for us. And Jesus summarized that kind of nature, that kind of a spiritual Zoe life of God when he said, love God and love your neighbor. Or using my illustration, get in the circle and live that life. It's a life of love of God who's in the circle with us and our neighbors who are in the circle with us as well. Love God, love your neighbor. How do we do that? In reality, not just kind of in our own, I'm going to try as hard as I can. It is through the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit's work to create that kind of nature within us. So we have the reality of sinful nature. We need to acknowledge that, and we need to, in the Spirit's power, be putting it to death while bringing to life the new spiritual nature. It is not something we can do in and of ourselves, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit and our cooperating will, the Holy Spirit won't force this upon us, but if we desire it, if we ask for His help and His guidance, and again, His strength, that will begin to be developed within us. Okay, that's a very long introduction to today's scripture passage, but hopefully it's helpful and will give some context to what we are going to read now together. Again, from Romans chapter 8, I'm going to start reading in verse 5, and this passage is in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along with me. This is Paul speaking. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the Zoe giver. He is the life giver to every person who by faith has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He is the one who desires to bring about a new birth, a new reality in your life, a reality in which you participate in the life of God, enjoying all of its benefits, including ultimately when you die, when this bios body of yours ceases to exist and be life-giving anymore, still the Holy Spirit living in you will be the life, the Zoe life of God that continues in what we call the resurrection, in which we will be given a new body, a Zoe body, a spiritual body. The Holy Spirit is the one to do this. And when the Holy Spirit is in the process of working this in your life and bringing this about in your life, and you're learning more and more the language of love, and you are distancing yourself more and more from the language of sin, you will begin to experience things differently. The way that you know that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life is that you realize that you are thinking about things differently. That's the word that Paul uses here. But it's not just thinking in terms of a mental exercise, but it's thoughts that lead to actions. And even thoughts that lead to certain kind of emotions. For the life of God is not simply a life of a certain kind of behavior, but it is also a life that engages all of the emotions that God has given to us as a part of our life, but to engage them in a godly way. The Holy Spirit is at work making this a reality for you. Now, perhaps you've experienced something like this, that some kind of sin that you used to enjoy quite a bit, that you used to be involved in a lot because it gave you a certain kind of good feeling, it gave you a certain benefit, it just was something you really wanted to do even though you knew it was wrong. If the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, one of the signs might be that if you try that sin again now, it just isn't as appealing. It just isn't as beneficial. It has some downsides, if you will. The downside is you're starting to feel badly about it. It's not as much fun anymore. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not, again, remember, that day you sinned, now you will never sin again. No, Christians still sin, unfortunately. Paul talks a lot about that in chapter 7, right before what we read this morning. But it is that sin is being transformed, and that desire and the consequences of that are beginning to change within us, and we sense that. Maybe your sin used to be that you kind of enjoyed putting people down. It kind of made you feel a little bit bigger, a little bit more important when someone else, you know, they did something really foolish or whatever, and you took advantage of it, and you kind of made fun of it, and you gossiped about them behind their back, and it just kind of made you feel more important by making them less important. And it could be now that you just find yourself just not doing that anymore, that you're not really interested in humiliating people in that way, and you find your identity more in God and less in just being better than other people and making sure they know it. Or saying it more positively, it could be that you're spending time reading the Bible, which is the Word of God, which, as we know, is brought to us by the Holy Spirit. He's the one who inspired it. He's the one who worked with all of the authors of the Bible to bring the Word of God to us. And maybe you read something in the Bible. It may be something you've read many times before. It might be a story that you've heard your whole life ever since you first started going to Sunday school. But now when you read it, all of a sudden something is different about it. There's some truth that really comes to you. Not just it makes sense intellectually, but you feel it. You're saying, that's who I want to be. That's how I want to live. That's what I want to do. It's like the scriptures are speaking to you personally, not just you're reading in the same way that everybody else has read it. That's the work of the Spirit bringing to life the Word of God within you. Another way in which you may be experiencing the work of the Spirit is if you hear a hymn or a Christian song, perhaps one that you know very well. But this time when it's performed or when you are singing along with others, it just hits you in a new way, in a different way. Perhaps it even brings about some emotion within you. Not because of the brilliance of the tune or of the person who wrote it, but because the message is one that touches you deep within. And that is the work of the Spirit, because it is touching something more than just your human spirit. It is touching that new godly spirit that the Holy Spirit is bringing about, the life of God within you. Or it could be that you're watching a movie, just a regular secular but good movie, and perhaps it's a movie that the primary theme is some really bad things have happened to people, but then in the course of the movie, that is redeemed. Somehow it is transformed into something that is good. something that is truthful, something that is helpful, and you find yourself identifying with the movie. You find yourself stirred within. Again, not because of the brilliance of the actors or you love the, you know, the directing of the film. It's not a technical thing. It's a spiritual thing within you because you recognize that the message of the movie is also the message of Jesus Christ, that God has taken that which is bad within you, your sin, and He has redeemed it, and He has brought something good to your life and is bringing something good out of your life. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, and you're recognizing something within yourself. You're reminded of that. You have a sense that that is what's happening. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit beginning to change you and to bring the life of God to bear within you so that more and more you're living His Zoe life and not just life according to the natural human sinful nature. Now, if you are here today in our sanctuary, or if you are watching via live stream, and this is something that you want for yourself, this is something that you desire, that you have heard the Word of God, and there's something within you, so, you know, I would like the Zoe life of God, but perhaps I'm not sure that I have the Holy Spirit, or I'm not sure the Holy Spirit is really doing that, or I feel like that I may be not serious enough about putting to death my sinful human nature, that I'm really working hard enough with the Holy Spirit on that, wherever it may be that you are. But if you desire more than what you sense today in your life, there's just one thing that you need to do. Indeed, there's only one thing that you can do in order for that to be a reality, and that is this: ask God for it. That's it. Ask God for it. The words of Jesus in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, ask the Father and He will give you the Spirit. That's the promise of Jesus, the Son of God. That is the same one who told the disciples that the Holy Spirit was coming, that the Father was sending the Spirit. He says to His disciples, all you need to do is ask. And again, it's because all we can do is ask. I mean, certainly none of us can earn the Holy Spirit. There's no one in the Bible that where you, here's a list of 10 things and do these 10 things and ding, ding, you get the prize. Here's the Holy Spirit. There's nothing we can do to earn the Holy Spirit. You and I certainly don't deserve the Holy Spirit. You can't say, hey, Holy Spirit, take a look at my life. Aren't I just wonderful? Wouldn't you just love nothing more than to be a part of my life? Well, actually, He would love nothing more than to be a part of our life, but not because we have been able to overcome our sinful human nature. We do not deserve the Spirit. And yet the reality is this, that in the purposes of God, again, as God is in this divine circle of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is nothing that He wants more than for you to be a part of the circle. And the only way you can be part of the circle is through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, there's nothing that God desires more than to give you His Spirit. But He's not going to force it upon you. But if you ask humbly, sincerely, with faith that God will do what He has promised, that you trust Him, that you trust His Son, the promise of Scripture is the Holy Spirit will fill your life. It's not magic. Again, He doesn't make anything happen where you just sit back passively and do nothing, but we cooperate with the Spirit. We listen to the Spirit. When the Spirit nudges us, we go in the direction where the Spirit is nudging, not where the sinful nature is nudging, and it's still nudging, sometimes quite severely. But we pray and say, Holy Spirit, I feel a pull in this direction, but I know that's not where You want me to go. The life of God is not over here. I know that. Help me. Strengthen me. Guide me to follow the life of God. And the promise is that the Spirit will. The work of the Spirit is not just for some day in the future. The work of the Spirit is not just to make sure that you have eternal life after life on this earth is done. The work of the Spirit is for right now, right here, today, to bring to life within you the life of God. There are many ways in which the Bible talks about the life of God or characterizes the life of God. One of those, Paul himself in Galatians chapter 5, he calls it the fruit of the Spirit, which is just a way of saying this is how the Spirit is bringing about life. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. 9 different things, not an exhaustive list, but a representative list of the characterization of the life of God. Paul is saying this is what the life of God is like. God is a God of love and joy and peace and so on and so forth. And he says the fruit of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit in your life, what the Spirit is seeking to bring about in you is what is in God. That you love as God loves. That you have the joy of God, that you have His peace, as Jesus says, not as the world gives, but as God gives. My peace, the peace that comes from the Zoe life of God. That fruit of the Spirit is something that we're going to be looking at more closely. Next week, we are going to look at patience. Love, peace, and joy we're saving for later during the Advent season. But we will start looking at the fruit of the Spirit and how these things can be developed in us and how the Holy Spirit is at work bringing these particular aspects of the life of God to reality within us. If you want those things to characterize your life, or if you want them to characterize your life more than they are right now, that fruit of the Spirit, if you really want to experience the life of God in terms of love and joy and peace, then engage the Holy Spirit. Engage with His Word. Engage with what we're talking about here together during these months. And remember, all you need to do is ask. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for the way in which You, through Your Holy Spirit, inspired the Apostle Paul to write what we read together today. Father, we recognize with Paul the reality of our sinful nature. There's something within us that just pulls us away from God. Something within us that when we follow it is unpleasing to God. In fact, Paul says it's impossible to please God if we're living according to our sinful nature. Sinful nature is always opposed to God, he says. So how do we live the life of God? How do we have this characterize us in who we are? It is only by the Holy Spirit. So Father, we pray together with that song, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen.